Hey, Moving Forward listeners, I'm excited to announce that I will be teaching a summer session of my writing and self-publishing class through the Johns Hopkins Odyssey program that starts Saturday, June 15th, and will run for 6 weeks. In this course, I'll cover a step-by-step process to ideate, plan, and write your book so you can get it done and published. For course and registration information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The class is open to all, including nonfiction and fiction writers, with special discounts for Hopkins alum. However, space is limited, so enroll now and let's start moving forward this summer on June 15th. Hey, John Lim here. We're moving forward with episode 461. I hope everyone is having a great week, getting ready for another weekend, and continuing on with our look at writing your first book. First of all, before I begin, I just want to welcome any new listeners. I invite you to listen to the trailer, episode 000. That'll give you the background and the roadmap on how to approach moving forward. You can create your own moving forward journey based off of the many types of episodes there are. I have interview podcasts, I have mini-series, and right now, and for the past couple of weeks, I've been looking at and revisiting how to write your first book. In light of that, I have a class coming up, which starts March 28th. It's through the Johns Hopkins Odyssey program. If you're interested in having a step-by-step process, a guide from finding a book topic to planning it out to writing it, all the way through to the editing and self-publishing process, this class is designed for you. It's open to all with special discounts for Hopkins alum. It is through the Johns Hopkins Odyssey program. You can find information at the website, bemovingforward.com. I also invite you to subscribe to my newsletter, which comes out every Friday. It's a companion to this podcast, but I also add a lot more information and insights on things I talk about the podcast. I also have fun news and random thoughts and trivia that I put into the newsletter. It's called The Weekly Quirk. Again, you can check that out, available at bemovingforward.com. It's one of the top two links. All right, last week we talked about your ideation map. And this is, I think, a fun process to take your ideation list, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, and to put a more visual format to it. And I described in the newsletter that it should look a little bit like a model of the solar system, something you might have created in high school or junior high for science class, where you'll have a lot of branches and bubbles. And each bubble from your main topic, which will be in the middle, should represent a subtopic. And from there, you might have more bubbles representing details, knowledge points, trivia, things that you've learned about this particular subject or topic or issue, as well as questions that you want to explore. And so what you're doing is you're really taking all the ideas, everything you know about this topic, why you're interested in it, but also things you need to explore or want to explore in writing a book, and putting it out in a visual map format. I also talked about last week using the BME markers. BME, beginning, middle, and end, is your anchor point. It is the through line for the entire process from start to finish of writing a book. Earmark each of those sections with a BME. Within each main section, you're going to tag your inner circles with BME as well, because that some of those sections will be beginning, middle, and end to those particular issues within your overall topic. You can do the same thing with novels. Novels, I would take a different approach, where I would have the genre or the basic premise of the story in the middle, and I would have circles related to characters, locations, plot points, and from there I can subdivide further depending on whether I want to get super specific or if I want to keep it a little bit broad. And I talked about the differences between plotters and pantsers when it comes to nonfiction. I mean, for fiction, for novels. When it comes to nonfiction, you're really going to want to go through the planning process. So plotter versus pantser, that's more towards the fiction realm. For most nonfiction books, for most of you writing a nonfiction book, such as a research-based book, topical book, book on an expertise that you have or a subject you're interested in, or a biography, you're really going to want to go through the planning process. All right, here's something that I talked about on the newsletter, which is optional. You don't have to do this. It really depends on whether or not the visual representation you have of your map is enough for you to kind of get the big picture on how all the different pieces are organized. But in case it looks a little too much like a random hodgepodge, you've got B's and M's and E's all over the place, one thing you can do is redraw the map once you have it all fleshed out. And what you might want to do is subdivide into three sections. Say upper left quadrant would be, or third, I suppose, because it's really just three sections, not four. Upper left, you'll have the B. Upper right, you have the M. And at the bottom, you might have the E. And then you can even just draw lines demarcating the three, kind of the thirds. So you're splitting it up into thirds. And then rewrite and redraw all of your bubbles related to BME. And remember, within each bubble, you'll have other bubbles that will also be BME, and even subdividing further. Again, you're going to want to tag every bubble, whether it's part of a main topic or subtopic or sub-subtopic, as part of BME. Because everything has an organization. And where I'm going with this is what we're going to talk about today, which is taking your map. And remember, I talked about this. One of the advantages of having a map is it gives you a visual format to look at all of the different ideas for your book, as well as the ability to expand and add and flesh out and ask questions related to your book and put it in a much more pliable format, I think, than using a traditional ideation list. The ideation list is a starter point. The map is to expand upon it, develop it, and then also to add that BME structure. Because with the map, you're just putting all the ideas out. It's like what I call throwing the spaghetti against the wall. You have all these ideas. You're not at the beginning thinking about organization as much as just getting those ideas out. And now you're adding that structure. Now we're going to go back to that top-down linear format and create an outline. From your BME map, what you're going to want to do is look at the ideas that you have and start thinking about this in terms of an outline, a beginning, middle, and end, starting with your introduction or chapter one all the way through to your conclusion or epilogue. Again, depending on what kind of book you're writing, but the structure is the same. The beginning, middle, and end sections are the same. And so what you can do is you can start looking at your map, and that's where you're going to really use those BME markers to figure out, okay, which bubble or bubbles should be chapter one. And for the most part, you'll probably find one, at the most two bubbles that you might combine for chapter one, and they should be tagged accordingly. So if it's chapter one, it's going to be a B. By the time you get into the middle section of the book, say around, I don't know, maybe chapter 7, 8, or 9, that's where you're going to move into the M. And then the latter third of the book, the late third, will be the end, the E section. Now, it's okay if your markers are a little bit off. You may have a B marker that actually goes into an M, that sort of thing, because it's not an exact science. But generally speaking, your chapters should flow in accordance with your BME outline. You may have to make a few adjustments here or there, but you shouldn't find like a major E section at the beginning. Vice versa, you shouldn't find a B section at the very end, unless, of course, it's within the chapter. And that's where you get into your sub-bubble. So I use the example of beekeeping. So let's say one of your major bubbles is our understanding of bees, or what are the common experiences of bees? What are most people experiences with bees? That might be a bee bubble. Within there, you might subdivide in terms of positive or negative experiences. Say being stung by a bee versus eating honey or anything that has honey in it, which is a lot of foods. And so those might be chapters within that beginning section, where that might be subparts within chapter one. Okay, it really depends on how you fleshed out your outline and your map, and that's going to require you to look at it from kind of a 10,000 foot view. And then from each chapter, you might have sections within that chapter. So let's say my experience with bees might be one chapter. From there, I might talk about the experience of being stung, the experience of eating honey, or if I have an experience, say, working on a bee farm or raising bees, I might talk about that. And those might be divided into BME because your chapters will have different parts that are also beginning, middle, and end within the chapter. And BME is a structure you will see over and over again. You'll see it at the top level in terms of the collection of chapters. You'll see it within chapter in terms of what's in the chapter itself. You'll see it within paragraphs. You'll see it even within the sentence level. So BME is a structure that you're going to see on a micro level and the overall macro of your book. And so what you should be able to do with your map is start creating a very, very organized outline that flows according to that BME structure. And even within chapters, you might have sub-chapters or subparts. And within those subparts, you might have even more subparts. It really depends on how far you went with your outline. Some of those bubbles you might combine. And I do recommend if you see that, don't be shy about drawing arrows connecting different bubbles. So you might have one or two arrows. Let's say bees in the city versus bees in the countryside. You might draw an arrow between those two because that might be a comparative chapter that you write or a comparative section of the book. So think of it in terms of drawing connections and then using your map to guide your outline. All right. And again, using the framework, using that BME and numeric ordering, that's where you're going to start to see the structure of your book. Now, if you need more of an anchor for your map to outline, one thing you can do is you can start numbering each of those bubbles. I recommend draw connections between ones that are that you can combine and then number them 1, 2, 3 all the way through to the end. And that might give you an even additional guide on how to create chapters from the map. Because for some of you, this is going to come very naturally. For others of you, you might need some more organizational sets. That's why I say you can redraw the map. You can number your different bubbles, that sort of thing, just so it provides even more of a guide so that it should flow fairly naturally from map to outline. All right, when we come back from the break, I'm going to share with you a brilliant hack on that will help you with the writing process that I got from a fellow author. Hey, Moving Forward listeners, here's today's Poshmark power tip. Bulk sharing will save you a lot of time at Poshmark parties. Hit the tool icon at the top right and choose Bulk Listing Actions Share. Use the filters to narrow down to available items and hit Select All to bulk share your listings. For more Poshmark seller tips, check out the Poshmark Guide for Individuals and Small Businesses, which is available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and as an audiobook on Audible and Apple Audiobooks. Start learning and moving forward today. All right, we're back, episode 461, talking about outlining your book. So over the past couple of weeks, we've spent time on the ideation process using ideation lists. I've talked about two types of ideation lists. Last week, we talked about mapping. Today, we talked more about finishing your map and now translating it into an outline. And as you can see, we haven't even started writing the book yet. And this is why I like a pre-planning process, because it allows me to really think about, well, I have this great idea for a book, but ideas come and go. Going through the process of pre-planning, of vetting it out, of ideating it and mapping it out and now outlining it will really put it through some tests. Your idea should be tested in terms of whether or not it's just a fleeting thought or it's something that you really think has legs and is something that you're willing to put a long time commitment to seeing it turn into a book. That's why I like going through a pre-planning process. Now, I know for novelists, some of you maybe what are called pantsers, you're not going to go through as an extensive a pre-planning process. You might have a very simple BME map. You might not even do an outline. And from there, you might just sit down and start writing. But for most nonfiction books, and for those of you who are plotters when it comes to fiction, I think that this is a valuable process. The pre-planning process, where the pre-drafting process is really where you're going to start expanding your ideas, developing them, vetting them. And if at any point you feel like you're really getting stuck, you can reevaluate whether or not this is the idea that you really want to stick with to writing a book. Because the pre-planning process is in many ways you testing out the idea, putting it through its paces to see, okay, is there enough here for a book? But more importantly, is there enough here for a book that I want to commit my time and effort into? All right, so we last talked about in the first half of the episode, creating an outline. Now, I want to share a hack. It's not mine. I give full credit to a fellow author, Suzanne Brown, who I interviewed a couple of times on the podcast, but specifically about 2 years ago, I had a series where I did a number of interviews with different authors from different backgrounds. And I will have that episode linked in the newsletter, but she shared this brilliant hack. And it's, I think, a really, really great way to prepare or prepare yourself for the drafting process. And that is to color code your outline. Now, let's say you just typed it out on your word processor. Use your highlight option from your word processor and come up with a color code. It can be 2-3 colors, maybe 4. I would say don't go too crazy, but you generally want to have a color to identify something that's easy, something that's hard, and maybe something that's in the middle. It might not be the hardest thing to write, might not be the easiest. It might require some research. Have a color code for that. The simplest example would be to use the traffic light example. So green for easy, red for hard, and maybe yellow for something that needs a little bit more development or research. Go through your outline and earmark the sections by color. So you might have some chapters or sections within chapters that are green, some that might be red, some might be yellow. And again, if you want to add another color or two and identify that as something else, you can do that. But I recommend keep it simple and go through the process, and you should have a pretty good idea which chapters are going to be the easier ones for you to write, which ones are going to be the harder ones, which ones are going to require some more work on your part. And you can also do it by which ones you're most looking forward to writing, which ones you're kind of dreading writing because maybe it's a more technical chapter, or for you novelists, this is where you're getting into maybe some very technical parts of your plot, what have you. And I recommend go through and earmark all of the different colors in your outline. If you hand wrote your outline, you can use highlighters. If you're typing this out, use whatever highlighting option you have on your word processor. I think everything from Word to Google Docs has some sort of highlight option. And go through that, and you're just going to earmark all of your chapters. Now, this is going to prepare you for when we get into drafting, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. But for now, what I wanted to focus on was the outlining process. So we started out with ideation lists, graduated to a more visual format with your map, now going back to a linear top-down format, but this time with a very organized outline that should have the real skeleton of your book. This should be the foundation of the house, if you will. All right, once your outline is done, next, what we're going to talk about next week is picking your drafting tool. Most of you probably assume that you're either going to be sitting in front of your computer or your tablet and just pecking away, but that's not necessarily going to be the case with your first draft. So we're going to talk about drafting tools next week. As a reminder, my class is starting in a few weeks. If you want to learn more about writing your first book, you want to learn more about the outlining process, the maps, the BME fundamentals, take my class. It is open to all. It is 6 weeks. It starts Thursday, March 28th. It'll run every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern for 6 weeks. I cover everything, the A to Z process of ideating, drafting, editing, formatting, the whole thing, and there's a whole process on how to self-publish your book. I'll even cover how to design a cover, and you don't have to have extensive graphic design or even much graphic design experience or any graphic design experience at all. And I will show you different options and tools to do that. And the nice thing about the course is that it is designed for any one, working within any specific budget constraint. So some of you may have some money that you can invest into your book so you can hire an editor or a graphic designer. Some of you may be working on a much tighter budget. I've designed this course so that no matter where you are, you can approach writing a book, get your first book done, and get it out there. The class is open to all, but there are special discounts. If you happen to be a Hopkins alum, you're listening to this, where you work for Hopkins, you want to take the course, there is a special discount for Hopkins, but the course is open to all. You can find that at bemovingforward.com. It should be the very top link. Also, my newsletter, which comes out every Friday, the next issue, issue 9, comes out tomorrow. You'll find additional tips on the writing your book, and in particular, the outlining process for tomorrow. All right. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Oh, one more thing I want to mention, and this is just speaking of books. I didn't get a chance to mention this last week, but if you are interested in my book on Poshmark, the Poshmark Guide for Individuals and Small Businesses, it is now part of Kindle Select, which means that if you are subscribed to Kindle Unlimited, you can check out that book. It's basically Amazon's version of the library. You can check out that book as part of your subscription. People have already started doing that. I haven't done a lot of advertising or promotion of it, but people have already started checking out the ebook version, which is really nice. So if you're interested in learning more about Poshmark and you are a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, which is kind of their library program, you can check out the Poshmark guide as one of your books. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to keep it up there. So if you're listening to this and this episode just recently aired and you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, check it out. I do plan to have it up there, I think, for a little while, but I may not have it up there forever. So if you're interested in that, do check that out. All right. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back next week. For more information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The views expressed by any featured guests are not necessarily those of the host, the program, or affiliates. Moving Forward is produced by John Lim and bemovingforward.com. All rights reserved.